There's a tree that stands at the end of the deck of our house. Tom tells me that this tree is 50 to 60 feet high. All I know is that it's high. It's higher than the second story of our house. That may mean that this tree is old. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's one of the varieties that grows fairly quickly. What I do know is that recently, the perky new green leaves on this tree are interspersed with errant patches of dangling brown leaves. The appearance is strange. It's as though this tree is both living and dying at the same time. Small, bright, upwardly looking new leaves sprout from the very same branches that hold brown, dangling clusters of dead leaves, which may be gone by now after the hailstorm earlier this morning. This intermixing of new leaves and dead leaves is a recent phenomenon, I think. It caught my attention a week or so ago. I don't remember seeing this mix of growth and death so closely together in a tree like this. In part, this tree looks entirely healthy. There are many new leaves and many more leaves that are taking on darker green hues. At the same time, this tree looks as though it's dying. There's seemingly an inordinate number of brown leaf clusters. Overall, it seems that this tree is in a place of juxtaposition, a place of deciding to live or die, if a tree can do such a thing. When I first noticed the unusual blend of new life and death on this tree, I spoke to our resident botanist. I was afraid that the tree had been attacked by a virus, having just witnessed several viral attacks on computers that left them cut down. He informed me that the problem might be just a lack of water because our area has been experiencing a drought. Perhaps the tree wasn't getting the water it needed. A vital resource was lacking, causing the tree to begin to wither. I was both discouraged and resigned when I was told that the tree would need some tens of thousands of gallons of water, and I could not fix this myself. Phrases like lack of water and nothing you can do not set well for someone who more than anything wants to fix things and make everything okay. How can there be new life and death at the same time? What part of this dichotomy is finally going to win? Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch from me that bears no fruit." And as I was looking at this both living and dying tree at the end of my deck, I was drawn to this statement of Jesus, the statement for those who would follow him. These words of Christ are both comfortable and uncomfortable. They speak to the assurance of being connected to him, being his branches, but they also speak to the discomfort associated in the fear of being cut off, that we somehow have not measured up. And that is our great fear, is it not? That we've fallen short of what we were meant to be, that we have not measured up, and because of that, we are not worthy of God or Christ, and that we will be cut off and tossed out, even burned in the eternal fire. Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Listen carefully to those words. Those words do not say that you should do something. These words tell us to abide, to be, specifically to be connected to Jesus, to abide. Abiding is not a frenetically active word. Abiding does not conjure images of gathering firewood, pitching a tent, or even erecting an abode. Abiding is more staid, more settled, less doing, more being. Be connected with me, Jesus seems to say. Be part of me. Do not be a renegade off on your own. That will not get you anywhere. On your own, you will wither. If you are part of me, you will bear much fruit. The important part to keep in mind is that we do not bear fruit on our own. We bear fruit because of our attachment to the vine. Any fruit we determine that we bear on our own is not fruit at all, because it's not connected to Christ, the vine, the source of our life's energy. What is it that gives you life? What gives you energy? The things that fill you and feed you and give you life are most likely the very things that are given by God. We're fed and encouraged so that we can spread our branches and bear fruit into the world. If we are connected to the vine, if we are being fed by the true vine, then we are nourished and strengthened to spread our branches and produce much fruit. There's so much in this world that says to us that the branches we spread and the fruit that we produce are our own. There's so much in this world that affirms for us that we are our makers of our own destiny, and that the branches and fruits of who we are our own doing and not connected to anything else. If we believe that, we run the risk of missing the point. The point being that there is one bigger than us. There is one who knows and understands in ways that we can never know or understand. And that this one, Christ, God, wants nothing more than for us to be connected to him. The vine is the source of support, the food, the life-giving sustenance for the branches. Without the vine, the branches will wither and die. They become parched, brown, and shriveled. If we branches are not connected to the life-giving support of Christ, then we too will shrivel, and our spirits will die. There are many temptations to lure us away from our Christ-centered connectedness that make us believe that we can thrive on our own. The good news is that unlike the branch that has no hope of reconnecting to the vine once the connection has been severed, we can reconnect at any time. Christ desires nothing more than our reconnection. We need not remain shriveled and lifeless. The life-giving vine of Christ wants nothing more than to give us life so that we can bear much fruit. Amen.